declare that I know my Redeemer lives. And it's because that he lives, we have a hope of eternal life, of glory, of peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as always, it's a privilege to worship him. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our effort. He's worthy of our lives as we commit ourselves to him as disciples of Jesus Christ. This morning, we're going to continue our series on servants. This year, we've been studying the topic of being servants. And we've noted that God has called us to be servants. He wants us, like his son, to be a servant. Jesus said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many." And we've remarked a number of times throughout this year that this mindset, this approach to our life, is an all-encompassing approach. We are to demonstrate ourselves as servants in every relationship that we may have. We are servants in our home, servants in our church, servants in our community. We are to be servants even in our jobs. And we've noted that this is challenging because we tend to be self-centered people. It becomes very easy to only feel my needs and know what my needs are, and we can become quite unaware of what is going on around us. But hopefully we've been challenged to think more carefully about how we regard our life. For the last couple lessons, though, we are focusing primarily on the fact that we are to be servants of God. And last month we pointed out that God deserves and requires our wholehearted devotion. And we talked about some ways in which we might compromise our devotion to God. We talked about sexual impurity and how that is something that will cause us to fail in our usefulness to our master. We also talked about being entangled in the affairs of this world. And obviously that's another way in which we can compromise our devotion to God. Well, this morning I would like to focus on the fact that we are to be servants of the gospel. As servants of God, wholeheartedly devoted to fulfilling his will for our lives, we are to be devoted to the gospel. The gospel is the message that God wants the world to hear. And the importance that God places on this message ought to compel us to speak this message faithfully every opportunity we have. As faithful servants of God, we are to be servants of this message. Now, as Noah just read for us in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians 3 points out that it is a matter of grace to be a servant of this gospel. It is a matter of grace. As Paul began to say in verse 4, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostle and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body, and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace which was given to me, according to the working of his power, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. Now you see Paul reflecting upon the incredible grace that he was given to be a minister of the gospel. And of course, the word minister simply means servant. And so Paul was a recipient of God's tremendous grace, and this enabled him to participate as a servant of this message. And you can see how excited, how humbled, how grateful that Paul is in the fact that he can now participate in this great work. In verse 8, he reflects, to me, the very least of all saints. When Paul regarded himself, he saw himself as essentially a nobody. He would describe himself in 1 Timothy as the chief of sinners. You see, Paul did not feel that he should have deserved to ever take part in something so great as the eternal plan of God, as he described it in verse 11. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose, which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. How am I a part of this? How am I able to participate in something so wonderful? And you think about, as Paul describes this, in verse 6, he says he would be preaching the blessings of God, essentially, to the Gentiles. The word Gentile simply means nations. In verse 8, he would preach the unfathomable blessings or riches to the Gentiles. And so as Paul looked at the gospel, as he thought about what the gospel was and what the gospel was designed to do, the gospel was the path between the nations and the blessings of God through Jesus Christ. And Paul had been made a servant of that gospel, a minister of that gospel. And again, as he thought about this, he saw it as a tremendous grace of God. To serve in this way is a demonstration of the grace of God. Have you ever volunteered for some sort of worthy work? And maybe throughout the duration of that service, you worked hard. You sweated a lot. You wore yourself out trying to accomplish whatever task it was that you had volunteered your time for. And even though you were tired, even though you might have been sore at the end of it all, when you saw the project, when you saw its completion, you had nothing to say but to the leader of the work, "Thank you for letting me be a part of this." And, you know, we talk about this feeling sometimes when you've exerted yourself for the benefit of someone else, that you end up feeling like you get more out of it than you put into it. You know, it was rewarding, even though you're worn out. And that's sort of how Paul feels, except in a greater way, as he thought about the gospel. It was hard and difficult work that he had committed himself to. But what God had given him the chance to be involved in would always give Paul a sense and a reality of getting way more out of it than he could have ever put into it. And as I think about this opportunity to be servants of the gospel, to be involved in the eternal purpose of God, preaching the message of Jesus Christ, it goes without saying that this ought to be the kind of work that you want to be involved in. Don't you want to be involved in something that, you know, that you're not worthy to be a part of, that is greater than yourself? And if you work hard trying to teach the gospel, that's exactly what you're doing. You're involving yourself in a work that there's no amount of effort you could ever put in that would cause you to put in more than what you're getting out. And that's what Paul was committed to. He was a servant of the gospel. He saw the message, what that message could do, and he labored and suffered and sacrificed to promote that gospel. So as a servant of the gospel, this demanded again that Paul become a servant of all men. And we've talked about this in different ways throughout this year. We've talked about this from the manner in which we do good to others, and our works and overall attitude and treatment of other people should be hand in hand with being a servant. But being a servant of the gospel changes how you view people. And it goes further than just doing a good deed when you are a servant of the gospel. Because when you are committed to the furtherance of the gospel, you learn to view people with a love and concern that you would not otherwise have. Because you're not just concerned about some physical discomfort. You're not just concerned about providing some sort of temporary relief. You are concerned about their relationship with God and their spiritual well-being. And so when you see a person, whoever they are, You first and foremost recognize the need that they have to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that ought to compel a love and a concern and a compassion that is deeper than just what the physical struggles of this life can bring. We live in a polarizing world, and I believe a very polarizing time. And if we get swept up in whether it be the politics of our world or the media, we won't view people how we should. But if we see ourselves as servants of the gospel, it will change the way we see people. It will change the way that we view them, in that we see them as someone who needs the gospel, and therefore they have the same deep need that I have myself. Turn to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Jesus made it clear to his disciples. He made it clear to his apostles. And the message that he made clear is this gospel is for all. It's for everybody. Mark 16, verse 15, we read, and he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." And so Jesus says, go everywhere, preach to anyone and everyone. Look for every opportunity and preach that message. Make sure that the world around you understands the responsibility, the call of the gospel to respond with either belief in baptism or disbelief. Share this message that, as Paul pointed out in Ephesians, would ultimately be the path to being children of God, to being recipients of the blessings of God. Preach that message because it's how they can get to where they need to be. Preach it for everybody. You think of our nation's document, the Declaration of Independence. And it states something that the founding fathers of our country stated was a self-evident truth. That all men are created equal. And they are all created equal because they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. You see this acknowledgement of humanity's common origin. God gave them life, prompted them to write those words. That's what they observed. From our perspective, people are here because God desired them to make them a part of His great family. God wanted to give them an opportunity to be a fellow heir of His inheritance. And so, because of that, the Christian sees every person as a soul created in the image of God. And so, because they are created in the image of God, the gospel is a message they need to hear. In Acts chapter 17, verses 26 and 27, notice what Paul says in his sermon on Mars Hill in Athens. Paul said, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, and perhaps they might grope for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us." You see, Paul, when you look at humanity, from one man came all the nations, and God made them so that they would seek God and find God. So as we hold the gospel, we see it as the need to solve everybody's deepest problem, the problem of sin. In Acts chapter 10, as the Lord revealed to Peter that the gospel was not just for the Jews, but also for the Gentiles, Peter acknowledged something that he had not seen before. He really didn't understand this before. Now, he could have understood it, It is a self-evident truth, but God had to show it to Peter, and as God revealed it to Peter, it changed Peter. And in Acts 10, verses 34 and 35, what Peter says on this occasion to the household of Cornelius is, "I will certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him." And so he went and he preached Jesus to them. So God made it clear. Every person, every soul, everyone who we may come in contact with is in need of the gospel so that they can seek and find and be at one, at peace with God. As Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And without the gospel, the sin problem is not taken care of. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. So Paul talks about the power of the gospel. The gospel which he was a servant of, which he was committed to. Why was he committed to it? Why would he not be ashamed of it? Because of what God would use it to accomplish among the nations. Romans 1 verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That expression, "to the Jew first and also to the Greek," is a way that God reveals the same message we're talking about to everybody. To everybody. With this in mind, as Paul made himself a servant of the gospel, Paul would make himself a servant of all men. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We come back to a point that we reiterated again, time and time again throughout this year, but now we're thinking of it in its most important terms, and how we relate to the gospel and how we relate to others with the intention of having an opportunity to share that blessed message with whoever it is we may come in contact with. And you see again how Paul made himself a servant of the gospel in this passage, and how that showed himself and how he treated other people. In verse 19 through 23, we read, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it." And in this great passage, where Paul essentially tells us what it means to be a servant of the gospel. In verse 23, he says, "I do all things for the sake of the gospel." And in part, that's how he becomes a partaker in the gospel, by viewing himself this way, by treating others this way. It's all reflective of that being made a minister of the gospel. And it's shown in how he would make himself a servant of all. In verse 20, he would be a servant of the Jews. In verse 21, he'd be a servant of the Greeks. In verse 22, he'd be a servant of the weak. All things to all people. But yet, while the Jew might be different than the Greek, while the Jews and the Greeks might be in a different category than the weak, they all had one common need. And that was to hear the gospel. And so Paul would become a servant to all of these people, because serving the gospel was important to him. And because the gospel was important to him, it changed his attitude as he related to these different groups of people. As Paul made himself a servant of the Jews, Greeks, and weak, he did this as a reflection of the love that he had for God and the love that he had for mankind. And as Paul went to a community, as Paul
met a new group of people. He was constantly asking himself, how can I preach the gospel effectively to this person or to this group? And it goes without saying that the way Paul approached this mission is if he saw something in his life that was innocent and fine, but would serve as a barrier to helping him advance the gospel, well then what was he going to do with that barrier? He would set it aside. If it was an unnecessary barrier between him and a Jew, he would remove it. If it was an unnecessary barrier between him and a Gentile, he would remove it. If it was an unnecessary barrier between him and this category of wheat that he describes, he would get it out of the way. You see, there are a lot of obstacles that people have in obeying the gospel. And Paul's attitude as a servant of the gospel is he was not going to let any personal preference of his add anything to those barriers. And Satan has wreaked havoc in our society. We, like in the days of Jonah and the city of Nineveh, live among a people who, morally speaking, do not know their right from their left. There are a lot of obstacles between people and the gospel. And because of that, my job as a servant of the gospel is to make sure there are no additional unnecessary barriers that stand between me and my ability to advance that message to anyone who is lost. Now again, in verse 21, Paul makes the point that as he made himself a servant to all, he was always under the law of Christ. He was always under the law of God. So if it was a matter of faith, Paul would be uncompromising in his conviction and fulfillment of the Lord's will. But if it was not a matter of faith, as a servant of the gospel, he would not let it get in the way of what was truly important. He would never brazenly add obstacles to his testimony. This is what a servant of the gospel will do. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. As Paul reflects upon different people who are involved in bringing the gospel to the church in Corinth, he points out that they were all merely servants. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, he says, "What then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants through whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one." Servants through whom you believe. The greatest act of love, the greatest amount of concern that you can show for anybody, is a concern for their soul. We ought to, as servants of the gospel, be willing and be active in our praying for those who we see, for those who we know, to be, as servants of the gospel, willing to take the time to engage someone in a conversation to teach them the gospel. So this morning I would like to ask you this. Will you be a servant of the gospel? Will you work as Paul worked and as Apollos worked with the aim to become a servant through whom someone believes? In Romans chapter 10, verse 14, we read these simple words. Romans 10, verse 14. "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher?" How will they hear if I will not be a servant of the gospel? People need the Lord. We need to be servants of the gospel. Well, thank you so much for your kind attention this morning. If you're not a Christian,
We are going to offer the invitation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to you at this time. And we are inviting you to join us in this great work. As Paul was graciously given the opportunity to partake in God's eternal plan, you have that opportunity as well. You have the opportunity to be blessed with an eternal inheritance. You have the opportunity to be called a child of God. And again, be involved in a worthy work that is much greater than yours, you, me, and any of us put together. But all of that begins with obeying the gospel yourself. That's where it starts. And if you want to make yourself a servant of the gospel, you first have to become obedient to the gospel. It was true for Paul, and it's true for every one of us. If we are not obedient to the gospel, we cannot possibly effectively serve the gospel. We cannot preach to others to obey a message that we have not obeyed ourselves. And so if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you are ready to repent of your sin and confess His great name, if you are willing to be baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin, then we would be delighted to do so this very morning, and you could join us in this great work. Won't you come to the front while together we stand and sing?